reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, starting at chapter 20, at verse 26. In the Pew Bible, that's 1016. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. A seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First, the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What should we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable should we use to describe it? It is like the mustard seed. It is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Steve. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for a word that is true, a word that brings life. Lord, we thank you that we can come now and we can hear your revelation to us today. Lord, let us hear your word this morning and let it change our lives and touch our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. So, Harvest Sunday comes round once a year, and the thing with harvest, when it comes around, it always feels odd, doesn't it? It kind of just happens. And because we don't tend to come from farming stock, it tends to be a bit strange, doesn't it? We have Harvest Festival. It's kind of a throwback, things that used to happen in the days when in rural communities you'd celebrate the fact that the harvest had come in, that you spent all these months labouring to get the harvest in, and you show the fruits of your labours. And yet we come today with baked beans and random pasta sauces and things like this. It feels a bit odd, doesn't it? Because it doesn't seem very seasonal. We can do that any time of the year. And in fact, we do. We collect for BCM all year round. There's always a box at the back ready to collect food for them. But in our culture, we've lost the ability to understand and recognize the times and the seasons of creation. We live in a culture where everything is 24/7, where no longer are there certain days of the week in which you work and don't work. You can work at any hour of the day, any time of night, and because of that, everything is 24/7. Now with emails and Twitter and Facebook and all these things, what you're doing in your life right this minute, you can let the entire world know right now. Everything is instant. You can get it when you want it. Everything is now. And we have this sense of impatience when something doesn't work quite quickly enough. I know with my computer, I love it when I just log onto my computer, go onto the internet, and it just happens. But if for any reason my internet connection is going slightly slower than usual, I get really frustrated that it's taking maybe 2 seconds rather than the half second it normally takes. How pathetic is that? That I get angry the fact that a machine isn't quite working to the optimum speed that it could be. I get really impatient. But what we see from the story of the Bible, and when we look through creation, we see that God has made the world to function in times and seasons. There are times to do certain things, there's times to do other things. As we come to harvest, we think about the season of reaping. The things that have been sown in a previous season, we come today to celebrate the idea of the reaping of the harvest, the gathering in of what has been planted. So we come to this story that Jesus tells. The kingdom is like a man going out scattering seed on the ground. And it says, whether he sleeps or whether he gets up, it grows all by itself. And it only puts the sickle in once the stalk has grown, than the ear and the full grain in the ear. He harvests when there's fruit. He harvests when there's a crop. And in this passage of this first story of the seed, there are kind of three seasons that we see. There's the season to sow, there's the season to wait, and there's the season to harvest. And we often get really frustrated with God because things don't happen now. And the parable is saying that actually in the kingdom of God, there's this period of faith when you have to just rely on the fact that God's going to do what God's going to do, because that's how it works. That there's nothing more that you can do to make it happen. See, the farmer, he plants seed. And if you think about it, when you plant seed, it's an action of faith, isn't it? You're putting this small, insignificant thing in the ground, and your expectation is that at some point it's going to grow into something bigger and which has got more seed in it. It's an action of faith. Sowing and reaping of a crop is an action of faith. When you go to a garden centre to go and think, oh, I'm going to plant some seeds this year, you go up to the seed rack and you spin it round. And what are you looking at? You're looking at the picture on the packet to determine which plant you want to grow. You see, you have a picture in your mind about what that seed will become. And that's what you judge what you're going to plant. You have a vision in your mind about what you are going to achieve at the end of that. You have a vision. And this is what the parable is saying. That for us in our lives, faith and the kingdom of heaven is like planting seed. That maybe there's a vision that God's put in your heart, and you have prayed into that, and you have in faith said, God, this is what I am longing to see. And then nothing happens. And you get really impatient, and you go, God, why? And you get really, really angry. But you see, having the vision of faith and knowing that when you plant a seed, there's a time period. There's a season where it has to do what it has to do before you get to that vision. And often in the church, what we want to happen is we want everything to be instant. We want God to answer our prayers like this, right now. When we have a brand new idea, we go, it's from God, do it now, God. I'm not saying God doesn't do things immediately. But there's another principle here about the kingdom, of being faithful. And I talked about this a few weeks ago with the parable of the talents, about one of the most important principles in the kingdom is being full of faith, being faithful to what the seed is. You see, the farmer is resting in faith. There's nothing more he can do. Once it's planted, all he can do, whether he gets up or whether he's sleeping, he can do nothing. He has to just trust in faith that what is to come in a future season will come to pass. Knowing the season, recognizing the seasons is important. There's a time to sow. There's a time to harvest. There's a time to rest. There's a time to get up. Those are the words of Ecclesiastes. There's a time for certain things to take place. There's a time for all of us to sow seeds of faith. But after we've sown seeds of faith, there's a time and a period often which is about resting in the belief that God will achieve his purposes. And then there's a time to see the fruit and to collect the harvest. Too many of us, we plant a vision in faith. God gives us a vision for him. And what happens is we plant it on the Monday and we're out on the Tuesday looking for the fruit. Is it true? I know I do that. We're wanting it now and we forget that actually there's a process. The kingdom is much bigger and greater than we are, and that God has made the world to function in times and seasons. We plant it in the ground and it's hidden away. No one knows about it. But at the right time, all by itself, it starts to sprout. And at the point it starts to sprout and you start seeing the stalk, you can get really excited and go, oh, something's happening with this vision. But then it doesn't quite look like the fruit that you're expecting, because it's a stalk. And you think, oh, okay, well maybe I'll wait a little bit longer. Maybe something will happen more. And you go, there's an ear on the stalk. But it's not quite the harvest that you're expecting it to come. But then there's the full fruit. You see, the stalk and the ear don't resemble anything like the fruit that will come. But it's part and parcel of the process of getting to where the vision comes to its fullness. To the place where the harvest is ripe. Don't get disheartened. Don't get disillusioned when the things that you feel God has called you to don't come to pass in the way that you think they will come to pass. I know in my life, when I look at my call to ministry, I knew that I would be the minister of a church one day. But the path to get there was nothing like I expected it to be. It didn't look like what I wanted it to look like. Because you have to go through the stalk and the ear before the fruit comes to pass. Don't get disillusioned by things which are part of the journey. Because that's all part and parcel of growing the fruit that will come. And what we have to do in that season is be faithful, full of faith. Faith is the action of being able to rest in the promise that God has given us. One commentator put it this way, which I love. Faith has a suntan. It's chilled out. It's relaxed. It's just basking in the sun, waiting for what's to come. Resting in the knowledge of faith. It says in Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You plant in faith with the hope that what is to come is the harvest. The vision that you have is the thing that you haven't seen yet, but you know what it could be. That crop that will grow. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. It's living your life knowing that the harvest will come, that there's a different season to the one we're in now, where that will be the right season. And resting in faith is something we need to learn. That faith is relaxed and can be quite chilled out. And that is the same for our Christian faith and our Christian walk. We have the hope of the future glory of heaven. The kingdom of God in its fullness will one day reign, where we will be with him. What we need to learn to do is rest in the knowledge of the faith that the harvest is yet to come. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for, of the future hope, but the evidence of things not yet seen. I have not yet seen heaven, but I live in the hope of what that will be like. And I live my life resting on the promises of God. Knowing the seasons helps you understand that there's a time to rest in the promises of God. Doesn't mean to say it renders us completely useless, because there was a time to sow and there is a time to reap. And whatever you're doing in your life, whatever God is calling you to, maybe you're moving from one season of rest into a season of reaping. Maybe God's calling you to be someone who is sowing new seed. This is a story from one of my previous churches. When I worked for Pershore Baptist Church as the youth worker there, our kids' work and our youth work just suddenly exploded and started happening. We went from having nothing to having kids and youth everywhere, and it was quite dramatic. And I was talking to someone one day, and they said, this is amazing. The previous minister of this church used to pray for lots of kids and young people to come to this church. Now, what you've got to understand is the previous minister of this church was a man called Arthur. And under his time, the church had shrunk down quite a lot to a point where when he left to retire, there wasn't really enough money to have a new minister. So there's a whole season of probably 5-10 years without a minister before they decided to, as a church, invest in getting a student pastor part-time to work for them so they could afford half a stipend for this minister. And eventually that minister then stayed on full-time. But you see, there's a whole period where nothing happened. But this guy, Arthur, had faith that one day this church would be full of children and young people. He never saw it in his season at that church. But after a period of what seemingly nothing happening, it just happened one day. It wasn't the fruits of the labours of the people who were there alone. It was the faith that had been shown a generation previous. You see, what are we planting for the future generations of this church? What are we praying about for the future generations of this place? What are the things that we can be harvesting in this church which have been set from previous generations in this house? What dreams maybe have been spoken over this church and people have got disheartened, disillusioned, and maybe God's saying, you know what? It's all part of the journey to get to this place where the harvest is to come. Don't be disillusioned. Be faithful. Don't be impatient. Rest in faith. And there's a second story that I wanted to share quickly this morning, which is the parable of the mustard seed. It's quite an obvious parable. It's explained in the Bible, but I want to just look at a different slant on it this morning. This small seed that starts so tiny, the smallest of all seeds, when planted, grows into something huge. It's saying that actually in the kingdom of heaven, the things that seem like insignificant have the ability to become great, have the ability to grow and see something amazing happen. Now, we have that kind of saying in UK culture of, you know, from small acorns, mighty oaks grow. And we have the same sort of saying that actually, you know, there's potential in things, they can grow up and it can happen. And this parable sounds very similar to that. And if we look at the Old Testament, Jesus probably is alluding slightly to this. In Ezekiel 17, from verses 22 to 24, one thing it says, I myself, this is the Lord talking, I myself will take a shoot from the top of a cedar plant. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoot and plant it on the high lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel I'll plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it, and they will find shelter in the shade of its branches. There's another one in Daniel chapter 4, verse 11 to 12, you can find, of this idea of a plant that grows up, and in its branches, birds from every nation come and nest in its branches. So, if Jesus is alluding to the Old Testament here, why would he use a mustard seed rather than a cedar plant? Because a cedar is quite a big, grand tree. Throughout the Bible, it talks about the cedars of Lebanon being these fantastically grand plants. Why would he use a mustard seed rather than just using the analogy that Ezekiel's already had in the scriptures of the cedar tree, this grand tree? And someone for me recently, a guy called Lloyd Patterson, who is one of the lecturers at Gloucester University in the theology department, he suggests a different way of looking at this parable, which I think is quite an interesting slant. I'm going to share it with you this morning. You see, having the birds perching in the tree isn't actually necessarily what you want. Because if you're cultivating the land, as we heard from the parable of the sower last week, when the seed falls on the ground, if the birds come and get it, it's wasting some of your crop, isn't it? So actually, you don't want to have somewhere where birds can perch because they're going to come and steal your crop. That's the last thing you want, is to have a plant there in your garden. It talks about the mustard seed being a garden plant. You don't want it there. But this small thing springs up and the undesirable birds come and flock within it. See, I think what Jesus is saying is the kingdom of heaven isn't this grand, spectacular to look at kingdom like the cedar tree. Do you know what? It's real. And what the kingdom of heaven does is it invites the unwanted people to come and rest in its branches. The people that the establishment doesn't love. The people that the establishment doesn't care about. The people who really annoy the establishment. The kingdom of heaven is a place where all are welcome. Where the last, the least, and the lost are embraced to come. That's what it's like. See, the mustard seed, another thing about the mustard seed is the mustard plant is medicinal. That's what it was used for. The mustard oil was medicinal. The unwanted people, the people who are the last, least, and the lost, the outcasts of society, the people who are broken and hurting, come and find shelter in the branches of a tree which is medicinal, which brings healing to the people. It invites those who are the outcasts to come and be embraced. And the other thing about the mustard seed, again, is a mustard plant. It is a shrub, but it's quite a wild shrub, and it springs up in the most inappropriate places. If you're a gardener and you've got a mustard plant, it's actually quite wild, and it gets out of control. And it springs up in places you don't necessarily want it to be. And it's saying the kingdom of heaven is pushing back the boundaries of darkness in this world, and darkness doesn't want it springing up in this world. But you can't stop it. It's like wildfire. It's wild and radical, and it springs up in the places that the establishment doesn't want it, to call all those who have been rejected to be embraced by the love of God. That's what the kingdom of heaven could be like. So the parable of the mustard seed is something which starts so small, but springs up everywhere to bring life, to bring embrace and love to the world around it. For me, the stories and the parables of the seeds tell us so much about the kingdom of heaven. There's so much more I could preach on this morning, but I won't. I'll stop now. I just pray that you be people who plant in faith, are patient enough not to get disillusioned when things don't come out the way you think they're going to come out, but know there's a hope of a harvest to come. Be a people who read the times and the seasons of God, and be people where you are who cause the kingdom of heaven to spring up in your day-to-day life to embrace those who need the love of God, those who other people have rejected. Be a people who embrace this world with the love that God has embraced us with. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a God of love. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who calls all people to you. No matter who they are, no matter how they find themselves, you are the God of love for all. Lord God, help us read the times and the seasons to know when just to rest in your presence and to rest in faith, waiting for the future hope that is to come. Lord God, we thank you that you're our God and that you love us and that you care about us and that you are establishing your kingdom here on earth through us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.